the show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Go get Lavelle Crawford, will you, for the love of God? Lavelle Crawford's going to be at the Improv this weekend. He's also maybe one of the stars of my new TV show, One More Job.
Quite possibly.
In which we play, the ex-gangster strong-arm guys that turn good.
Right.
Turn good and temporarily until we have to do one more job.
One more.
Whoa. What's going on here? What's going on here? Where's the rest of Lavelle Crawford? Who is this skinny guy? Look at you. How much weight have you lost? 130,
man.
130?
Wow, good for you, man.
Holy cow. Your head better be pointier. I'm kicking you out of here. What? You look great, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, holy cow. Hot, not I don't look as good as you.
Hey, man, we all looking good. My check engine light was just coming up.
Lavelle, I'm telling you right now, I feel like when I turned 30, which I'm 45 now,
okay,
it was like my warranty expired. The next day I got out of bed and my knees went. I remember going, what was that on my first day of being 30?
When your knees start popping, that's when you start weighing stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but when I was walking upstairs and I was breathing hard, like, I'm walking, playing golf. Golf's real simple.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you swing and you got out of breath getting back in the cart, then you're going to start weighing stuff up. You don't even want to look for your ball no more.
Right.
Your ball right there, yeah. Can you grab it for me? God, I'm good on this hole here. I was just like, man, I come on, man. I don't want to kill over and die from just eating potato skin.
Yeah.
I said I had to do something.
Too many people are just, especially famous people, just dropping dead, man.
And I'm just glad I made it through 216.
Right.
Man.
217's off to a rough start.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Mary Tyler Moore today, huh?
She'll be just the one that kicks it off. Now they're all just going, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, but you know, Mary, you know, that's a good age. What was she about? 90?
She was 80.
Yeah, 80 a good day. I mean, you know, you shouldn't.
You say that until you're 75.
No, I'm going to be ready to go.
You are?
I mean, look, I don't want to be around, can't chew corn, you know what I'm saying? Pants up on my chest, can't really drive. I'm going 3 miles an hour, scared to death of everything. What is that? Grass, grandpa.
I want to live to where if they have to put me in a fish tank, and just keep breathing air into my lungs. Like, I want, if I'm just a head and lungs, I want to live. As long as I can watch TV.
If you can watch television.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put me in front of the TV, and I'll dangle and watch SpongeBob for the rest of my life.
But if you're that old, though, you're going to be asleep half the time TV. You wake up at the end of another show. You ever do that? I do that
night.
Now. Yeah. Oh, God, what happened? Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't know SpongeBob was in the CSI.
I have so many movies on my DVR. Because I'll watch a movie 3/4 of the way through, and then I fall asleep, so I just hit the red button and record. I'll watch it later. Never. I have no idea how any of them end or anything.
That's how I am on my iPad. I got movies, like TV shows. I put mine on my iPad.
Right.
I watch them on the plane.
Yeah.
So I catch up, and then I remember, dang, I didn't finish this one. I got to go back and watch that one because I didn't watch it halfway through.
Yeah, you try to binge watch a thing, and you don't remember which episode you left off on. Oh.
And then it's crazy. I realize that I'm getting too old for something. My favorite TV shows, because I got like Teen Wolf, you know, from MTV. I realized I wouldn't be allowed to be on this show. I ain't sexy as these kids. No. All these kids are all hot. Yeah. Even the gay ones are very sexy.
Right.
He should be with him. You know?
I'm too old for shows like my kids will watch the Disney teen thing,
man.
And then they'll fall asleep, and I'll continue to watch the show. And I'm like, if anybody sees me watching Girl Meets World, I'm gonna be in big trouble.
Oh, man, could I watch some, like, my son, he's 6, and he likes, like, Casey Undercover.
Yeah.
You know, like, I watch it because I was friends with Tammy Holland. She plays on the show, plays the mother.
Right.
You know, and I was like, you know, she's cute. You know, she's something to watch, little girl cute. But then I'd be looking at the other little shows, like the Thundermans. I think, man, she's hot.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That girl was embryo when I was her age. What am I watching this for? I was disgusting. I slapped my hand.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to watch it.
I have gone to IMDb to see how old a girl is when Bella Thorne and Zendaya were on.
Oh, man.
I was like, let me go, before I think any other thoughts, let me go see how old they are.
Oh, man, they babies. Man.
Yeah, but they're beautiful babies.
Yeah, they good looking babies. Sure. My oldest son, he does the extra work, and he said he's a good looking kid. You know, he's good. He could be on Teen Wolf. He'd fit in great on
Teen
Wolf.
Yeah.
But he said he almost had a chance with it. I said, man, you should have stuck it out, brother. He said some guy came up and messed up his whole game.
With which one?
With Zendaya.
Oh.
Yeah, he talked to him. She was talking to him, and they were sharing and everything.
Yeah.
And one guy said, oh, my God, it's Zendaya. This
C-blocker.
Yeah, he was a C-blocker, man. He was horrible. He just messed the whole game up.
Man, so he's an extra, huh? That's got to be fun.
Yeah. He does a lot of work on Disney and stuff, and he's an artist, too, man.
Yeah.
He makes great art, man.
I think my son's gonna do. My son's got the hair and the style. You know, I was telling him yesterday. I was like, "You're so lucky. You don't look any. You look just like your mother."
Yeah. That's just like my little boy. I said he's so handsome. I said he got his little girl at school that beats him up a little bit. She roughs him up, but he's a tough kid. He likes fighting him.
Right.
He said she's tough though, Dad. I mean, she hits you. I said she hits you because she's into you.
Yeah, she likes it.
You got to back up.
Right.
You got to back up a little bit. Don't swing on him. Just let her hit you in the chest.
Take it.
If they don't, you're gonna appreciate what Dad does.
You're hilarious. My daughter just turned 4 and she had a birthday party and it was only one little boy that was took. It was like 6 little girls and one little boy, and I get in that picture and he's like, "Nah," I go, "Trust me, you're gonna love this one day."
Right.
This is Lavelle Crawford that is here. You will not recognize him because he has lost a ton of weight. You really do look great, man.
Thank you, man.
Lavelle, what is going on with Better Call Saul? I mean, I'm getting a little annoyed now. I mean, we got a new season coming out, so I don't know, but anything?
Well, I can't tell you.
Okay, good. That's good news.
I can't tell you, I can't tell you.
All right.
I was on the New Girl.
You were?
Yeah, I was on New Girl.
Which one? I watched a bunch of stuff.
Workaholics, you've been on quite a few times.
Yeah.
And that new movie, The Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Yeah.
You were great in that.
I had a bigger part in there, but they cut it out because the director tried to film everything. Birds flying, fish swimming, Hawaii, the name on the map.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, come on, man.
So the new season's coming out, and it's prequel, but they did say that Gus is going to be in this season, and Lavelle is skinny now, so it could be you got Lavelle, got skinny Lavelle in there.
Sure.
Don't say anything, Lavelle. I don't want you to get fined.
No, I can't do nothing.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
I can't say anything.
I've been working on a TV show myself.
Oh, yeah?
I was thinking about offering you to audition for the co-host. Right now, you have to beat out Faison Love and Craig Robinson.
Okay.
I had Faison locked in, but who did he say? Pauly Shore. He hangs out with Pauly Shore too much. That annoyed me. So I offered to Craig Robinson. He liked the idea, but Lavelle would be good,
Lavelle
too.
Lavelle would be great in there as well.
You know, Craig Robinson got a game show now. It's on Spike TV. It's people singing.
Yeah, that's Howie Mandel's thing, right? Karaoke.
Yeah, I seen him on. I was like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah, you hear Lavelle. He's like, yeah, Craig's already got a job. What do you got?
But Lavelle would be great because I watched over the Christmas break. They had a Breaking Bad marathon, and I watched some of those old episodes that I remember. And you were a good tough guy.
Yeah.
I think you're such a sweet guy, so it shows your acting ability.
Yeah, he's acting.
Yeah,
I'm tougher than Craig.
You think?
Very much tougher.
Yeah, I think like if it was a fight, you could probably be Craig.
Yeah,
Craig would give you the shocker, like he'd surprise you with the old finger.
Whoa,
like, that's Craig. Like he's like, I don't care.
Maybe.
I'm gonna get him. You know. Where his face on was got guns.
I know Craig Robinson's whole origin, so I know he was a teacher.
Yeah.
His mama was a teacher, and he was into music and stuff. I knew Craig back when he was opening up for me. So
oh, really?
I know his whole origin. See, he don't have no stories where he put somebody in the hospital. I have a few of those stories where I went to jail. I was in a holding cell in Oklahoma for them not having my money.
At a comedy club?
Well, it wasn't a comedy club. Oh. It was a comedy show.
Right.
And the guy took us to a couple of places. We did all our performances, but he didn't have our money. And then he threw like $100 in my face. He said, "Do it." It hit me in my face.
Oh.
And I whooped that guy's butt up there in his club, man. They were scared to death. I grabbed him. I ain't care. He was 65. I slammed him all on his pool table. I went in, man.
Did you get your money?
No, but I got retribution.
That's why you could sleep at night.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
don't you? I always tell people I don't want to fight. I'm not a fighter. I can get my worst fear is to get my ass kicked by a high school kid. But I don't want to lay in bed going, I should have punched that guy. You know, it probably bothers the hell out of me.
Right, you know, and that's true. You know, sometimes I don't know. I've said now I can't do it as much, but back then I did. And then I beat up his guy, his buddy, because he tried to take up for him like he going to take us out.
Right.
Trying to break bread. And then he got mad at me again, man. I can't believe you laid your hands on my friend. But I said, you want some?
Uh-huh.
And by that time, I was through with my chili. So I told him, I slammed
it. It already refueled.
And that's when I went to jail, when I threw it. I was good. The cops had let me go, but as soon as I slammed him.
Yeah. And then they gotta go, oh, man, imagine the cops are like, we might need backup.
Yeah.
What do you got? I got a mountain I have to bring in right now.
Oh, I was a beast too, man.
Yeah.
I was younger then, man. I wasn't thin though. I was big. I was a big moose, and I was really hot.
You carry a gun? I would assume you're carrying a gun.
I didn't carry one that day.
That day,
but
okay.
The crazy thing about it, I came back with my buddies. We're going to burn his house down.
Oh, man.
We drove back to Oklahoma. That's how crazy I was.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, it was just, you know.
In your younger, less rich days, you tend to do a lot of those things, right?
You know, I mean, you know, I came up from the street. I had my mom, but I was a bad boy. The streets was my father, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't no hood streets, Nino Brown, but I had to learn how to fight.
Nino Brown.
You know, I wasn't that guy, but, you know, like, yeah, I'm from the streets now.
Yeah.
You know, I used to eat bullets.
You know how to take care of yourself.
I know how to hold my own, and then, you know, Retributor had buddies. Man, we could go down there and handle something. I said, you want to ride?
Right.
We had gotten my deuce in the quarter, and we drove down there.
Now, you know who was in here a couple of weeks ago was Ice Cube.
Uh-huh.
And, he is not gangster at all anymore.
No.
Like, Ice Cube walked in there with two other black dudes, and I go, which one's got, who's got the gun? And he's like, we don't carry guns. And I was like, you're Ice Cube. At least lie to me.
He's got lawyers.
I know. Yeah. And I was like, who are you mad at? Who do you want to beat up? He's like, I don't fight. I'm like, man, Hollywood has really mellowed out Ice Cube.
I'm going to tell you something. Ice Cube may have been in the hood, but Ice Cube wasn't as hood as you. The kid went to college. He went to college.
Yeah.
He had parents. Both his father and mother was at the same house.
Right.
You wasn't really no thug. You can't be black with your daddy living in the house. You ain't no thug.
He's right.
No broken home. How you gonna your parent? My son ain't gonna be a thug. Me and my wife still together.
Yeah.
We fight and break up. I sleep on the couch, but I'm there.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna never know what the hood is about.
That's
man.
The truth, man.
He ain't gonna never know. So Ice Cube, you know, he had, you know, even his son portray him. He was tough. I mean, I'm sure he could beat up the average guy, but I'm sure the real gangsters, he said, like, when he was on Straight Outta Compton, they showed the thug walk on the bus.
Yeah.
And you see Ice Cube get up and go, yo, player, you ain't going to be doing nothing to our bus.
Yeah.
And he set his butt down and just wrote a story. Just like you want to, because there's somebody out there for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Man. Absolutely. This is Lavelle Crawford, who is here with us. Great comedian, great actor, super funny guy. He's going to be at the Improv. You got two shows Friday and Saturday and one show on Sunday. I would recommend making a reservation. 864-4000 is the phone number. I have to go over something with you just so we can know for the future.
Right.
Last time you were here, you were at a theater, I think, and I was like, oh, get Lavelle in. Right. And then I don't know if it was your people or the theater, they were like, Lavelle can't come in. He can only make a phone call. And then when you called in, you were like, I wanted to come in, but they said you guys are too busy. Man, once you get people in the middle, nobody ever gets seen. So I just want you to know, you're always welcome to come in here.
Hey, brother. I know that. I know they was lying.
They were lying.
And I
won't even do phone interviews with anybody. Yeah. I said, well, we got to do Lavelle because he's our boy.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got people. Kyle called me, man, I'll go in because he showed me mad love from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, I was like, I don't believe that, man.
Yeah, no.
But some people, they don't have a relationship, so they be making up something. I say that's why sometimes I have to go be the go-between.
Right.
And have to talk to people myself.
Right.
Because some people, oh, no, no. And then they think they're more famous than you. Like, Like my manager. he thinks he more famous than me. I'm like, man, you ain't me.
Right.
You ain't be me. You
and he thinks he's doing you a favor. LaVella right. want to get up right. early. You want to sleep. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. Yeah.
Right, come on, man. I don't think he want to do that. Yeah, I'm doing everything, dude. That's how I got to where I am.
Right. You're a worker.
Man,
that's how it goes.
Yeah. You got to. You know how it is. I just got.
I just wanted you to know because it's been like a year and it's been bothering me. You're always welcome to come in here.
Oh, man. And that's what I said. I mean, some places be snobby. You don't even know why they don't want you to come in. You'd be like, what'd I do to them? And then, well, we had Diana Ross on. And I got to respect Diana Ross, but, you know, hell with Diana Ross.
It's a good
why is she still alive?
It's good to clear that up because when LaVell leaves, he's going to call his friends and be like, hey, don't burn his house down. It's all good now.
Now, let me ask you something. Were we at this same station the first time I came?
Yeah, but I think the first time is when we were doing afternoons.
Okay,
it was in this building.
But it was downstairs when this.
No, but we were always on the third floor. But sometimes when they were building this studio out, we were down the hall in a temporary studio.
I told you we wasn't in this building. She's gonna try to. She over there. No, this has been.
It's always been this building.
Okay.
But we might have been in a different room.
That's maybe what it is, because it's a different room.
Okay. Yeah. Or it could have even been this room, but then they rebuilt it.
Well, that's true. They knocked down the wall over there, and they made a big room. Now we're fancy.
Maybe it's the origin.
Yeah.
Something's different.
Yeah, because I was like, this don't seem the same. But, you know, because I remember when I came, I drove all the way down. Because I was coming, I think I was doing it for a lot of days.
Right.
It was a longer drive. Uh-huh. And I was coming all the way down here. So that's why I was like, man, I know it was a longer drive. It really took no time to get here.
No, yeah.
And I remember Bobby Lee was coming in and you was going to tase his butthole. And he looked like he was rushing to him. Man, I'm late, man. I got to get in here and get this taser on my butthole. I was like.
Last time you called in, somebody was in the studio. Who is somebody else was here?
It may have been Bert.
Was it Bert Kreischer? Yeah, I think it was Bert.
It was probably Bert. Yeah.
Oh, Bert's so funny. I don't know why he's taking his shirt off. he always look like the leather bee. He's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
I like Bert.
What about Ralphie? Is he Ralphie at all?
Man, I haven't seen Ralphie in a minute.
So Ralphie was down here. He stayed with me at Christmas.
Yeah.
And now he's doing a residency at Harris in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we're going to go check that out next month.
He's doing a residency
Harris in Vegas.
Vegas,
yeah.
No stuff.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful gig.
Right.
That's a sweet gig.
That's what I'm saying. You can stay right there.
Gotta go nowhere.
Mm. And we always talk about how we'd love to live in a casino.
Yeah, that's like the dream.
I used to want the dream, but now I'm married. I don't think my wife.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You know, but if I was single, man, that'd be the greatest place in the world for me.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't make it into heaven, but I'd be all right.
My wife would love it, but she'd be down there playing blackjack all the time.
We'd be losing all your money.
We'd be out in like 3 days. Right. I'd be like, well, we're going to stay here a month, but we lost all our money.
Your wife gambles?
Yeah. She didn't until I taught her. We went out to Vegas.
See, that's why I don't teach my wife, because I don't think she don't even go. She played the penny slots with me.
Right.
And I let her play it for a little bit, but she don't get into it. I'm glad.
Yeah.
How many of that? You see this tattoo, this microphone? You know how much this cost?
$6,000. Wow.
Because it took about 4 hours to do in Vegas, and I was getting it done, and my wife was out there spending money.
Nah.
The tattoo itself cost about $400, and then it cost me $4,000 on top of that.
So your wife plays blackjack or slots?
Everything. Wow. Yeah, she's a good gambler. She's usually pretty good. But my wife is a half Jew, so like we went to Biloxi one time, and she said she played 3-card poker, and she's met her little friends at the table, and they're having a good time. And I said, well, I'm going to go upstairs and watch the Bucks game, and I'll come down afterwards. And she's like, okay, I'll be here. And I went up and I watched the Bucks game, and I fell asleep in the fourth quarter. I woke up and the next game was on, and she still wasn't in the room. And I'm like, how am I going to find her in this casino now? I went downstairs, and there she was, the same table, exact same amount of money. Win two, lose two. Win two, lose two.
I ain't mad at that.
Nope, I'll take it.
I ain't mad. I dated a chick back in the day, man. I mean, I give $100, I swear to you, man, before I can even sit out of my seat. These dang slots are just taking out. I say, what are you paying spend $100 last night. I said, go play a soda machine. Something back. I was sleeping. I hadn't even sat down. Yeah. I'm like, why are you gambling? Are you giving it to somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, I do all right at casinos. Because I think my mom goes, she's funny. Because she's like, boy, if I hit, I can pay all my bills off. Yeah. I'm like, man, you can't go in with that bill-paying mentality.
Right.
You ain't going to win. You just go in. Like I do. I always like camouflage. I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
If I hit it, I do all right. And something. That's how I win, because I don't think about it.
I set a goal. I go, I got like $2,000. If I lose $2,000, I'm going home.
But I don't even take that much. I take $200, but I know I have $2,000. My limit is
$2,000.
I take $200 in my pocket, and I pay $20 here. You know, even in the $5, I have $20, maybe play one at a time if I hit. See,
you got a system. Ball.
Yeah, I know ball, man.
So slow rolling.
Yeah, you know. So if I hit, I hit. But when I get big, and when I go big and gangster, it has to be like a, you know, the dollar, like the $5 slice, and I may pay, put $100 bill in and see how I do. And if I hit, I jump it all out. I keep $200 is always a jackpot.
Run.
$200 is always a jackpot. But when I went big.
We go on a cruise every year with listeners. Uh-huh. And if I wake up the next day and there's a pile of chips in that safe, I go, oh, God damn, this is wonderful. I could be sitting at the table with that same amount of chips, and I'm like, I could get some more. I can do better.
Right.
But when I wake up the next day and they're all in my safe, I'm like, woo!
Yes.
Let's party. Let's have mimosas.
There's
feel nothing, good about that.
Yeah. Nothing better than paying for everything. Like, if you're on the cruise and you win enough, and you're well, everything's paid for.
Yeah, I did that once on the cruise. I went on. I paid. I got my mom and my stepfather the anniversary gift, you know, and my wife now, but we fell out, so I went by myself, and I actually didn't, but I, you know, but that's how we argued about all the time. We weren't together, so it didn't matter, but I didn't do nothing with her. She was awful. I should have just left her two off the boat. You know, but I went in the casino, man, and I won like $7,000 in the casino, so it paid for everything. Plus, I had some money left over. That was beautiful, man. I hit on every slide down the row. It seemed like every slide hit a jackpot for me, and I said, well, man.
Yeah, good for you.
Hey, maybe she's a good luck charm, and I was like,
nah, she should throw over.
She was a distraction.
You should see Ralphie play.
Yeah.
Ralphie plays like he doesn't know math, and he walks away with ridiculous amounts of money. He ruins every rule in blackjack,
but still wins.
17, and you got 10. Double down. I'm like, double down, Ralphie. He's like, I got that. Every time. It's unbelievable.
Double down on the 17.
He has done, like, he does so many things that security comes over and watches him play because they're like, this guy's either got counting cards or he's an idiot. Because,
I mean, does the people get mad at the table at him?
Well, it'll be usually be him by himself because he'll sit down and he'll be playing like $300 at a time. Right. And people just get up and they leave.
I cussed out so many people when I, you know, I misplay something. Maybe, you know, just playing my hand, you know. Because sometimes that's how you play, you know. Like if I hit a 16, because I'm in getting horrible cards, so I'm going to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say I hit, but then I wind up getting a 5. And then I'll be like, look, I hit it, now I've got a 5.
Yeah.
Man, now the dealer, he ain't going to buzz. I said, that ain't my problem.
Right, you got to worry about your hand.
Right, I'm not worrying about you because your money going home with you. You going to pay me to bet with you?
Right.
One guy got ripped, and man, you need to get up from the table. I said, you make me get up from the table.
Uh-huh.
And then he calmed down.
If you split tens next to me, I'll get up and walk away.
Yeah,
other than that, I get your money.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Tens, you don't split.
No, but they're an idiot. When I see somebody go, should I split those? That's when it's time for me to leave. But I don't make them leave. I'll leave.
You will
but
hear.
But if they ask me. I would say, if you do,
I'll punch you.
I'll wait for you in the punching line.
punch
line. That's what it's going to be.
You will hear a from me if you're doing something, whatever. Yeah. And then if you do it again, I'm like, all right, I got to go.
Yeah.
I love to play against a dealer. Just me and the dealer, and I go in, and it's in and out, sniper, just bang, 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 and I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, nice, quick double up on your money.
Right.
Because, with blackjack, you know, if you can play two hands, you know, your odds are better than having a bunch of people around.
Right.
Because their luck and then their energy takes the cards off the table, I believe. You know, and then when, no offense to the Chinese people because I love them, but Asian people steal all the luck. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. They come up, oh my God, I'm going to Google good. And next thing you know, mislead and took all the money off the table.
The Asian people are like gypsies. They'll roll up, sit down for three hands, and then leave. You're like, what did they just do?
And then killed the
table. Enough time to throw their mojo into the table and kill us.
Now, you talking about your wife plays three-card poker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that game.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? I play it a lot, but I was sitting down with this lady one time, and I was sitting up there. I would get a flush here and there. I got a couple of straights, and I'm just like, come on, man. I got the three cards. I got to get that three of kind, man. I got to get that straight, you know, that straight flush. I'm come on, man. It's got to come. This lady sat down. Can I get in here? I said, I guess. Next thing you know, that lady got a three of a kind. Three more hands got the straight flush.
Oh.
And she bet big, too. Yeah. I mean, she bet hard. I mean, I think she had like $20, $30 on each spot. I was like, oh, my God. I said, lady, I will kill you. I should just kill you.
Get her the punching lock.
But I don't know if she knows some martial arts. I'm up here getting my butt whipped with some Wing Chun out here. And I don't know how to block. She's killing me. I got these little sandal footprints on my face. Plus, she took the wins off the table. I don't want that.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's fun when you're there with good people.
Yeah.
Sit around and gamble for a while.
Sure.
Go see Lavelle Crawford at the Improv. I promise you will dig him. He's very funny. And he may or may not be in the new season of Breaking Bad. When does that start?
That's Better Call Saul.
What'd I say? Better. I was just trying to test you.
You're going to get people excited.
When is Better Call Saul debut?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to get you. I was like, why would you know the debut if you're not in it?
But I know I was on New Girls and I played...
I watched New Girl for the first time the other day in a long time.
I played a brother called Trevlo.
Trevlo?
And I was selling rings, and I was everything I said was like, be blessed. Be blessed, brother. Be blessed. And you're so blessed. And it was funny, man, because he was selling rings to the black guy on there. He was getting married. He was asking this girl to marry him.
Yeah.
And it was a funny little scene, man, because they asked me to go all outrageous with it. So, and, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. I don't know when it's coming on. It might have came on. I don't know if the new season out or not.
I think it is. I saw an episode the other day. Yeah. That show, it came out of the gate kicking, then it went right off the air. Once they start falling in love with each other, that's when it gets screwed up.
Yeah, that's how it is. When they have sex, just like friends.
Yeah.
You know, when friends started screwing each other, it was over.
Yeah. What about, did you see that CC girl? Did you get to meet her?
Who's it?
The one that's married to...
Who's Zoe?
No, the other one. The hot one. The kind of Indian girl. Yeah, what's her name?
There's Schmidt.
Schmidt. Schmidt?
Schmidt. Schmidt.
Oh, no.
She's like kind of Indian-ish. She's gorgeous.
She's Jess's best friend.
Hannah Simone.
I haven't seen her.
Man, you missed out.
No, she wasn't there when I was there. No, I guess
she's gorgeous.
Her?
Yeah. That's the most flattering picture in the world.
Okay. No, I didn't get to see her. No, she wasn't.
Do you audition for those parts, or they just call you and go, Lavelle, you'll be good at this?
Well, actually, yeah, this was a walk-on part.
Yeah.
They gave it to me. Yeah, one of the writers was a fan. You know, I'm getting a little bit of that carte blanche in Hollywood. Now, I audition for some stuff.
Yeah.
They want me to do it. You know, I don't have no problem with
who
that.
Who else do you have to, like, who are the other guys going up for the roles when you're there? Craig Robinson of Faze on Love.
I haven't seen Craig at all. He's in that upper echelon because he got in with Seth Rogen him and all.
Yeah.
You know, so he kind of got in the club. He surpassed. He got through a nice little. Because I remember I did an audition where I got a call back, and I heard that they said that they were looking for a Craig Robinson type.
Oh,
it's like.
Yeah.
That ticked me off. I'm so mad at him. But I wasn't mad at him.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I knew Craig back in Chicago. And I'm happy for my people getting something. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't never see him. I see, when I hate auditions because you go in with some guys and they always sit around like it's a fight or something. Like, yeah, man. You might as well leave. I hit a home run. I knocked it out the park. I'm like, whatever. Because I was watching this one thing, the show Speechless is on now.
Yeah.
So it's about the guy and the guy that got the role. I know the guy. I've seen. He used to be on Reno 911.
Sure.
And but he has to read the words for the guy, which I don't understand because if he like eating like Hawking, Stephen Hawking, he could just like count along.
Yeah.
But I guess he can't. So he points at the letters and he spells out the words. first for the guy, and he got to read it. Now, I was in his audition. I did horrible. Yeah. I admit, I didn't deserve it, but I watched him on there. I said, he's having the same problem. So I think it wasn't that, but I think my son, I had to bring my son with me, right, because I couldn't have a babysitter.
Right.
He would not sit still. He would get down and walk around. He was playing. I was like, sit down, LJ. And then I go back to the scene. Hold on, LJ. Give me my phone. And I'm in the middle of the scene. I got it. And then my wife calling at the same time. I said, really?
You guys are losing me jobs.
Man, you're killing me jobs here. You know, I mean, they like nitroglycerin, and, you know, and an earthquake, man. They two together. I can have them separate, but when they together, I'll be like, man, I can't deal with both of them together.
I love it. That to me, it would be like, I got to hire the guy who brought his kid.
I would think they would give me the job, but I mean, I think, you know, I don't know. They was like, I don't know.
All right, to my show.
Okay.
See, you're from Chicago?
No, I'm from St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay. Oh, sorry. My show was going to be me and Faison.
Okay.
Faison worked for, like, drug dealers, and I worked for the mob.
Okay.
And we're both, like, tired of beating people up, and we both wanted to get out of the business.
Okay.
So we sell all of our stuff, and we move in together, and we decide to go on the straight and narrow. But then every time we start doing good, something goes wrong. We need money for someone. We need to help. His mama has to go in the nursing home. We have to do one more job to pay for it.
Okay.
And we share one car. We share a Miata between the two of us. And Faison was in. We were in. But then he kind of fell off a little, and then Craig Robinson brought some life to the role.
Okay.
He's still getting ready to pitch it, and I offered it to Ice Cube. He wants executive producer it. So if you're interested, bring your kid to the audition, and I'll see what I can do.
So Ice Cube, he wants to do the exec. See, that's the thing. Ice Cube, he's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. Ice Cube, he's so rich now because he produces.
Right.
It ain't like all this stuff he produced now, you know, he owns it all from Friday on up, man.
Ice Cube actually said he wanted to buy the show just so he could see me and Faison and Miata together.
Because Faison is still a good-sized brother.
Yeah.
He still, his check engine light ain't went over.
What if Lavelle showed up for the audition with his kid, and the writer's like, what if we write a kid into the show now? What if the one guy's got to take care of the kid?
Yeah.
Oh, see, and you turn the whole show around.
And he's like my foster son. It ain't even mine. I did one of my guys that I used to work for got shot up because I couldn't protect that.
Yeah, and you had to take care.
See, I bring something to it. I'm bringing life. And I'm taking care of one of my ex-boss's children because all his family got wiped out because I wasn't there.
Right.
I was out getting the Philly cheese.
That's pretty good. My first idea for a show was called Me and Wang, and it was where like a couple decides that they want to adopt a kid. Well, the wife does. They were both TV anchor news people,
okay.
And she left her job because he was becoming more famous.
Okay.
And then she never got to have kids because he didn't want to ruin his career, so they adopt an Asian baby against his wishes. Then he gets fired, and she gets a national television show, so now he's stuck with the kid.
Bye-bye.
And then the kid, as they more and more hang out together, they turn out the kid's a genius.
Okay.
So it's him and Wang now.
Him and Wang.
I'm telling you. I'm a couple more years, Lavelle. I'm going to get out of this rotten radio business. I'm going to write TV shows.
Hey, man, you know, don't wait. Do them now.
Yeah.
And just get them ready.
Dude,
ain't nothing like the present, baby. That's what I tell people. I lost weight. I got a radio job now.
You doing radio?
Yeah, I'm on Tom Joyner Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Nice.
So that came in, you know, weight loss brings you get it back in cash.
Yeah.
You know? And I tell you, if you got some cool ideas, it's ideas. That's all it takes is somebody to hear it.
An idea, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Tell me what that's like on Tom Joyner's show. First of all, I think I'd be great on an all-black radio show.
Oh yeah,
I would.
You'd be great. You'd get the other side of the story.
Right. Also, because one time I did it here in Tampa, I filled in for my buddy Orlando who works on Wild. And
Orlando won't call me back.
So what? He won't?
He acting brand new. I don't know what it is.
Oh, him in the punching lot.
Yeah, punching lot. I hollered Orlando because we was cool. I don't know what happened. I don't know. He saw me lose weight. He going to feel uncomfortable around me.
Yeah, might be it.
And,
you
know, it ain't you, brother. It's me.
Yeah, right.
You ain't got to be like that. We family.
That's true. I hosted for him one time, and black girls were calling. They'd be like, I don't know who this white boy is, but he's funny. That's the best compliment I ever got in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you right now.
But I mean, hey, funny is funny, you know, because I had white girls call in and say the same thing about me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They say, yeah, I don't know who that black dude is, but he's funny. but you know, the thing about Tom Jordan, his class is like from 30 and up. This old heads. But he's, you know, right now, it's fun. It's a good time.
How long do you do? You do like an hour or you stay for the whole show?
I'm on the whole show.
The whole show? Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, and Tom's a good guy and a good friend. He's somebody you can learn from. You know, but they, you know, this whole Donald Trump election going on and black folks are so, they so left wing on this, man. It's just like, it's so hard. Yeah. Like, cause being a comedian, you want to joke about his hair. You want to joke about it. I'm not a political comic. You know, I don't get off into politics because if you say the wrong thing, oh, well, you just must be a Trump.
Trust me, I know.
I mean, I'm ostracized because right now, it's like, you know, a couple of singers posted a song. It is an inauguration. And people are like, well, Spike Lee said he ain't gonna put on her show, you know, put it in his movie because he was gonna let her songs be in his movie. Now she can't do that. And one guy said, well, I was gonna put it in my wedding, her song in my wedding. But I'm like, really? Because she's trying to live. She got $750,000.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah.
And they're gonna say, what's your price of Val? I say about $100 million because I'm gonna have to give my family a whole nother identity. Passports. I don't have to see y'all no more. I don't care. It's black people everywhere. I go back to the motherland. I'll be rich. I said, I don't understand it because you're not going anywhere. You people marching for no reason, wearing out good pairs of shoes.
It's hilarious.
If you didn't march down to the voters' booth, he might have not won.
Exactly.
But it is what it is.
Exactly.
We don't have we still got a colored president. He's still orange. Orange is, somebody said orange is a new
that's
black.
Right.
So that's so funny. Because I'm like, man, hey, it is what it is. I'm not into it. I'm not a total Trump fan. I just think he's an American.
He's there now.
He's that. He is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody has their opinion and right to say whatever they say, but you can't force your opinion on me.
Right.
You know, being with Tom has been great. I love him. He's good people, man.
Good for you.
And I'm learning a lot. You know, it's just like radio. I'm a comedian. I like to just act a fool, but
right.
You know, but we got to entertain and we got to inform. So it's just like, you know, so that's where I had to learn, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to inform. I don't care what you need.
Right.
I tell you, cucumbers has electrolytes. That's all I can let you know.
I don't even go to.
that's
I
your information.
Donald Trump and cucumbers have electrolytes. Go see Lavelle Crawford at the Improv this weekend. Two shows Friday and Saturday, one show Sunday. Hilarious comedian, great dude. You look great, man. Good
Thank
to see you,
brother.
Buddy.
See you.